Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, beautiful people. This is the Best People We Know radio show, where we bring you experts and celebrities each week to help you be your most successful best, because these experts and celebrities share their success secrets with you. I'm your host, Deb Scott, and I'm a certified professional coach and author of the award-winning book, which is a motivational book, The Sky is Green and the Grass is Blue, Turning Your Upside Down World Right Side Up. And that's always a very good thing to do, is staying positive and motivated. And today, it's all about staying happy, and we're going to get special tips from a guru, which I've been really excited to have booked on the show. I've been waiting months to get her on. And before I introduce her to you, I just want to remind you that our shows are scheduled for Tuesdays and Thursdays, but oftentimes we will have special shows Monday, Wednesday, Friday, sometimes even Saturday mornings if I can get a guest for you. So make sure you mark us as a favorite and follow us so you get those worry-free updates. So let me tell you about our guest today, Dr. Nancy Marammer, if I'm pronouncing that properly. I have to ask for forgiveness on that one because it's a beautiful name and I'm probably not doing it justice, but we'll just say Dr. Nancy. And you can find DrNancyOnline.com and see her beautiful website as well. So today, it's all about getting the happiness equation you've been searching for with expert psychologist and spiritual fitness coach, Dr. Nancy. Dr. Nancy is a licensed clinical health and educational psychologist specializing in education and health issues. Her approach is one of treating the mind, body, and spirit in a holistic fashion. Dr. Nancy has been featured on over 250 television and radio stations. Unbelievable! That is absolutely amazing. As a professional speaker, award-winning author, and psychotherapist, Dr. Marammer offers training, individual therapy sessions, and transformational books and CDs, and she has a new CD that just came out yesterday she's going to tell us about, to assist in personal transformation. Goals for her programs include the achievement of optimum health, mind, body, and spirit, personal growth, and transformation, peak performance, spiritual fitness, powerful communication, successful relationships, and so much more. Her work in schools, businesses, hospitals, private practice, and in the media for the past 30 years have been received with the highest degree of appreciation and recognition. She has been recognized by the American Psychological Association and the Pennsylvania School Counselors Association as well. And you can connect with Dr. Nancy at DrNancyOnline.com. And it is a pleasure to welcome to our show today, Dr. Nancy. Are you here and hello?
Deb, I am here and hello. And it is my pleasure to be invited to be a part of your show.
Well, I tell you, I've seen your writing. I, of course, am always scanning the Google world and websites, and I've read so many of your articles on happiness, and I have been so inspired. And we have a small network of people that seem to know other people and in it and suggesting and recommending. And, you know, it was just a really exciting message to get from Debbie Mancini, who's a mutual friend of ours, how she knew you personally. So I want to thank her in public for, you know, introducing us and just really a gift, because everybody wants to be happy. Is there anybody that anybody has ever met that doesn't want to be happy?
And, you know, and I want to thank you for reading my website. It's so good to know that when you put this information out that somebody's reading it. So that's, I thank you as well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's nothing that I'm more passionate about than helping people be happy. I mean, because I want to be happy. I mean, everybody I know wants to be happy. If you're a human being, you want to be happy. And I've really found that your articles, you know, are easy to understand. And if you follow the steps, it can really make a huge difference. And, you know, on this radio show, you know, the reason I started it was because I want other people to know the things that, you know, maybe I wish I had known years earlier, or, you know, maybe if I find something that's helping me, it's going to help somebody else, and then that person listening can forward this radio show on a download or on iTunes to somebody else. And I really do believe that we all help each other, and what goes around comes around. So, you know, your talent, your expertise, your 30 years of experience, you know, can help so many other people. And today at the end of this show, I know that everybody listening, either on, you know, live or on replay, you're going to come away and say, wow, am I so grateful that I listened to this show today, because I feel better and now I have the happiness equation and the resources to be able to get more of that good stuff. So,
and you know, sometimes I like to turn this topic upside down. And by that, what I mean is, you know, as you said, everybody wants to be happy. So let me sort of address the big thing, and then we're going to work on the little things. Usually we do it the opposite way, but let's talk about the big thing when it comes to happiness, because happiness is a choice. Okay? Happiness is a choice. It's about whether you look at life as the glass half full or the glass half empty. And you can put 50 people in a room and ask them what they're experiencing, and you're going to get, oh, this is great, this is wonderful, and somebody else is going to say, my coffee's cold. Everything is about perception. It's not about life being perfect. It's not about your kids being perfect or your job being perfect. It's about perception and how we decide that, A, we're going to be happy, and that we're going to look at things a certain way. And Deb, the truth is that it's not as easy as it sounds. Okay. There are a few things that get in the way. And one of them is something that Daniel Gilbert talks about. He wrote Stumbling into Happiness and did a four-part PBS special on happiness. And he refers to them as ants, A-N-T-S. Those are automatic negative thoughts.
Automatic negative thoughts, ants. That's ants. Quite a visual.
It is. It's hard to forget. And the truth about them is that we all, everyone, has these automatic negative thoughts. You're driving down the road and somebody cuts you off and you're thinking things about him. And, you know, it's so easy to get sort of thrown off balance and thrown into automatic negative thoughts. You know, and what if I don't get to work on time now? It's easy to go down that slippery slope. And automatic negative thoughts are just a part of the brain. They're our way of restoring our ego after it's been damaged. So if someone walks past you that you know and they don't say hello, your mind starts saying, what did I do to her? And the brain just goes off in these negative thoughts, and it's a slippery slope, you know, to stop them. So when you have them, the most important thing to do, because this is the enemy of happiness, are these ants, these automatic negative thoughts, is to label them. Ah, I'm having automatic negative thoughts. That's all they are. They really don't deserve any of my attention. They're not real. They're just my ego trying to, you know, feel better about whatever happened today. And label them and then take a deep breath, blow them out, and move back to your choice. And your choice is the choice to be happy.
You know, that is so powerful, just getting out of the gates here. And this is why I just love your website. And I'm going to encourage everybody right now to make sure that you visit Dr. Nancy's website. I sign up for her, I sign up for your updates. I sign up for anything that I can. And you have so many amazing studies, articles, thoughts, exercises. So make sure you go to Dr. Nancy online. I can't emphasize enough that you have to go visit Dr. Nancy's website. But you know what I love about you're starting out the show with these ants, these automatic negative thoughts. A lot of people I speak with, you know, they think there's something wrong with them, and maybe somebody listening right now thinks, I'm the only one in the world that has these little negative voices in my head. You know, what's wrong with me?
Well,
nobody else has this. And
exactly,
right away, you're telling us, no, this is part of being in the skin suit as a human being.
so many people come in. I do psychotherapy work as well as spiritual fitness coaching. And so many people come in and sit down and they say, there's something wrong with me. All I do is have negative thoughts all day. And I say, no, there's nothing wrong with you. That's just how the brain operates. And you have to outsmart it. And actually, Deb, thank you for mentioning all the articles that are on my website, because they're going to become a book. And the book will be a book on happiness that will be available in about a month from now. So please do sign up for my newsletters and my announcements, because if you want to be happier, or you know someone who wants to be happier, someone you want to make happy, this is a great way to do it.
Yeah, and I like to think of reading these blog posts and these things as mind vitamins, because we have to feed our head those positive things that you're going to continue to tell us about. So the best people we know must sign up for the newsletter today.
Please.
Sign up.
And it's actually Dr. Nancy Online is
definitely Dr. Nancy's. All right, so we've got these automatic thoughts. People have them, and you're telling us to label them, acknowledge them. Oh, okay. So not judging them, just saying, okay, I'm having one of these negative thoughts. There I go again. There it is. And acknowledging that, and then what are you telling us to do?
Well, I think you said something really good. You said, don't judge them. I like that, Deb, because part of getting past them is self-acceptance. And the best affirmation I know comes from a program called the Emotional Freedom Technique. And what you do is, whatever you catch yourself doing, you say, even though I'm having negative thoughts about my sister-in-law, I deeply and completely accept myself. Even though I'm having negative thoughts about how I did at that meeting, I deeply and completely accept myself. So even though I'm doing whatever it is I'm doing mentally or during my day, whatever negative thoughts I'm having, I still deeply and completely accept myself. And that starts to turn the nervous system around.
Yeah, I think that one of the things, and again, this might be the biology major in me and the science person that I used to be, but I love what you do to bring credibility through a lot of research and studies, so that, you know, if we have this feeling, and then as you just said, well, that's going to generate a certain emotion, which is going to release a certain chemical in our body, and then the cycle is going to snowball in the positive to our advantage to helping us feel happy. But, you know, there really is something, there is a science behind everything that you're sharing with us today, and I think that this is really powerful for people listening to know that, just like anything else in life, if you do the next right thing, if you put two and two together in the equation, you're going to get four. If we follow these things that you're giving us with these 30 years of experience, this is what you do. You're a psychotherapist. You're a doctor. This is where you're an expert. You talk around the country. You've been on TV with this. But if we do these things and try them, then we're going to see those results eventually, and it is a process.
And, you know, thank you for bringing up chemistry, because, and I'm so glad that you are, that you have a background in this, because one of the things that happens when we go after happiness by either deciding to be happy or affirming our happiness or any of the other things we're going to be talking about today is you release dopamine. And dopamine is the happy chemical. And it has to do with all of the functions of the brain. You increase serotonin. All of the different brain chemistries that relate to happiness are based on the things that we're talking about today, because all of these things trigger the release of these happiness chemicals.
So really, we have to be aware, and just by listening to this right now, we're aware. So we've already begun the journey. So, you know, we've already got callers raising their hand, too, in the switchboard. So I just want to get one more, and I want to thank 614 for calling, and I know that you have a question for Dr. Nancy, and we're going to get to you in just another 30 seconds. I just want to have Dr. Nancy finish up on this this component of being a decision, the choice. I just want to let you finish that thought.
Okay. So every day, every moment, on a moment-to-moment basis, you have a decision. Every part of your life is a Y in the road. You are always at a Y in the road, and you can either go to look at something in a positive way or in a negative way. It doesn't mean if you're having feelings, you don't sit and accept your feelings and have your feelings. But the choice of how you're going to address something is always that Y in a road, and you can always decide, even if 5 minutes ago you made the wrong decision, right now you can always choose happiness. And so it's that Y in the road that allows you to accept, I can be happy right now, right here, without anything else changing in my life by making this decision. This decision releases the dopamine in the body. And if I may talk a little bit more about chemistry, do I have another minute to do that?
Yeah, please do.
Okay.
Please do.
An author by the name of Bruce Lipton actually wrote a book about the chemistry of happiness. And another one to keep in mind if you're interested in this subject is Candace Pert. Candace Pert proved that every single cell in your body has a mind of its own. So if you tell your body that it's well, it actually responds, and it actually causes an increase in immune functioning in the body.
Wow.
Now, yeah. Now, because I am a cancer survivor, I can tell you that I was diagnosed very, very late with end-stage leukemia with a poor prognosis for survival. And if I did survive, it was going to take 4 years to treat. Well, I didn't think so. I said, no, I don't think that's the case. And I started using this this idea of telling my body that it's well and visualizing it well and choosing happiness and choosing laughter and doing all the things that would stimulate the immune system. And I was in remission in 23 days.
Wow. Well,
yes.
That's a very powerful testimony. And, I mean, that almost makes me speechless, if I could ever be speechless.
You and me. But yeah, the truth is that not only have I been studying this and talking about it, I've actually had the experience of getting the chance to use it and to prove that it really is true, that we are the masters of our own domain. And Bruce Lipton has even proved, his science is called epigenetics, and Bruce Lipton has proved that we can change our genes so that the next generation, if they are prone to things like high blood pressure or heart disease, we can actually stop that by changing our thoughts to change our genes, Deb. So if, let's say, my father or your father had heart disease, and it's genetic, and let's say your doctor told you that you have the gene and you're predisposed to this, and you decide, no, I'm not. Okay, and you start telling your body that your heart is perfectly well, your heart is not going to be susceptible to this genetic predisposition, and that you're not going to get this disorder. What will happen is you'll change your genes, and your genes will no longer have that predisposition. Now, that is phenomenal.
That is absolute. I mean, that just blows my mind, because
it does.
What he's proving and what you're sharing with us with Dr. Lipton's work too is, you know, there is no limit. I mean, there's no box that says you have to be a certain way, you are going to end up a certain way. I mean, everything is a choice, and there's a lot of freedom in that, and there's a lot of hope in that.
There absolutely is. And people say to me, well, what if it doesn't work? And I say to them, if you try it, your chances that it will work are a lot better than your chances if you don't.
Yeah. And, you know, exactly. It's that shoot for the moon, and even if you fall short, you're still land among the stars syndrome. You know,
exactly.
You're not going to lose anything by trying. And
exactly.
And the idea of what you could get in the process is certainly a lot better. And, you know, this gives everybody hope for happiness, doesn't it, what you just shared with us? Hope for happiness and feeling better. And we're going to learn a lot more about how to make this happen. I just want to can we take a call, Dr. Nancy?
Sure.
Okay, we're going to open the line up to 614 1679.
Gotcha.
Go ahead.
Hi, this is Tia Star. How you doing? Great.
Hi, Tia Star. How are you?
Do
you
have a question? Awesome. Yeah, I did, actually, and I just came by to show you some support and just wanted to, you know, just you're doing a great job hosting, so I want to come by and show you some support. I have a two-part question for Dr. Nancy. You talk about the ants. What do you do when you have, how does that work with the programming of the brain, considering that from birth to death, there's constant repetitive negative the word no is used more than the word yes throughout a person's life.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the difference in the therapy that you would use for a teen as opposed to an adult, as opposed to a senior, because of the length?
Because everyone has the same decision all the time. Regardless of age, yes, we are exposed to negative thinking and no, but the idea is to almost think of yourself as a third party observing these negative thoughts. Don't even have them. In a sense, distance yourself from them, observe them, notice them, take a deep breath, breathe them out, because what you don't want to do is own them. Now, if you are having a concern about something that you need to sit with and think about and work through, that is a different thing than just this constant negative flow of thoughts that we have in order to preserve the ego. And I think you hit something there, Kia, with teenagers, because teenagers are so, they're constantly having to reassure themselves that they're okay, because they don't know that they are going to be good adults yet. They don't
right.
know that
it's a totally difference in the confidence area. That's why
yes.
I asked that specifically.
Exactly. And so we need to help them. We need to help teens, because they are generating even more negative thoughts, because that person that they want to be friends with looks at them crooked and, you know, their day is ruined. So we want to help them to really learn how to feel good about themselves. There are a whole lot of very confident teens coming up, and this was not the case before. This is a new generation, and there is a certain amount of insecurity that's just part of being a teenager. It just is something that is just part of the developmental process. And it pops up again, Kia, in midlife. It used to be that people would have midlife crises, and now they have midlife developmental stages.
Yes,
so,
it does. I've noticed that, definitely.
It's no longer a crisis. It's a period in your life where you reassess your life. You say, have I done what I wanted to do? Have I done what I was meant to do in this life? And if not, is there time to still do it? So we always have a choice to look at what's going on and view it optimistically or not. Seniors, you mentioned seniors. Seniors have an additional challenge because there's so much loss in their life, whether it's loss of a friend, loss of their hearing. They need to find a way to really regroup from all of that loss. And the learned optimism, if you haven't learned it by the time you're a senior, it's harder to learn it because the brain develops rigid thinking patterns.
Right.
So you may know some seniors that you try to encourage them to do certain things for their health or to think in certain ways, and they're very, very connected to the old ways of doing things, even though they're not working anymore.
Yes.
So, yes, and so when you're with them, you can challenge their thinking a little bit. You know, you can say, well, are you hurt that you weren't invited to your granddaughter's birthday party, or is it just that she's only having children at the party? You kind of have to challenge their thinking a little bit. And sometimes just that flipping the thought around and looking at it from a different point of view can help them to see things differently. You almost have to turn things upside down, you know, turn them backwards and look at them from a different point of view, because it's all perception. There, none of this is real. It is all perception. It's all how we look at it, and we can make that choice no matter how old we are.
Awesome. Well, thank you for the answer. I appreciate it.
Thank
and
you.
definitely a different perspective on how to handle it. Thank you so much. I appreciate
You're
it.
You're so welcome.
Thank you. And I think anybody listening, Tia would ask such a great question because she works with you. She's a little bit of a celebrity in Columbus, Ohio. She has a television show and she has a radio show on Sunday mornings. And she's really passionate about making a difference in the world of others. So thank you, Tia. And I hope people will visit your TV and radio show out there in Columbus, Ohio. And thanks for calling in. I appreciate
well,
you calling
you.
In.
And
okay, I'm gonna put you back on mute there, if you don't mind, though.
No
okay.
problem. I'm going to continue to listen. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Tia. You know, I love that we all help each other, and experts helping other experts, and this is how we grow, and this is how we're going to make a difference. Because, you know, the one thing about being happy, you're a lot more enjoyable to be around, and you're going to do a lot more good in the world when you're feeling good about yourself. And, you know, that's where, selfishly speaking, you know, I want people I know to be happy, because when somebody else is happy, I'm going to feel better working with them, being with them, sharing the journey of life with them. So it's in everybody's best interest to be the best person they were created to be. You know, isn't that part of it as well?
It absolutely is your job to do the best you can do in the best way that you have to express it in this life. That is why we're here. And, you know, I like what you said about, you know, helping other people be happy, because I want to go back for a minute to Bruce Lipton. When you decide to change your genetic structure through attitude, now it's a two-part thing. Let's say you're prone to heart disease. If you do things to prevent heart disease, like exercise and eat right, and also hold the attitude of wellness, of not getting sick, something happens. Not only do you change your genetic structure, but Deb, you actually give this gift to your children. The change becomes permanent, and you don't pass this gene down.
That's unbelievable. Now, I didn't know that at all. That is really amazing.
It's a permanent change.
Wow.
So talk about making other people happy. I mean, what better gift can you give your children?
Yeah, now that's shocking. So it is really in everybody's best interest to listen to the show and do share with others, because this is some good stuff. You know, I there's so many things, and we'll have to have you back on, because, I mean, we can't possibly get through everything today, but I want to try as much as
okay.
I can to keep it going forward. Learned optimism and spiritual awareness, those are the four big ones in the umbrella before we can get into some of these specifics. And I especially want to make sure that we get to proximity, which is something that we were speaking about earlier before the show started. But the learned optimism and the spiritual awareness, tell us why we need to know what that is and how it's going to help us be happy.
Okay. Well, let me take spiritual awareness, because there's nothing about happiness that's deeper than that. Learned optimism still has to do with your thoughts. So let's go down to the spirit. And we talked just a minute ago about doing what you're here to do, doing what you do best. That has to do with fulfilling your life purpose. You know, people always say to me, what is my life purpose? What am I here to do? I want to do it. I'm so anxious to get started on it. And this comes from spiritual awareness. And it's sort of like your inner self, your inner guidance, your soul, your spirit talking to you and sort of directing you. And the things that we feel passionate about or driven toward are usually coming from spiritual awareness.
So passion and having that thirst that won't go away to be...
That thing that you would do 24/7 even if you didn't get paid.
Oh, whoa. Well, there's a good litmus test. That thing that you would do even if you didn't get paid, and you'd do it 24/7. All right.
Exactly.
That pretty much defines that.
Right. If money wasn't an issue.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the thing that really drives you. The thing that, and, you know, one of our authors in the Happiness book wrote about something called Janoon, Janoon, and the book is called Driven. And Janoon is this passion that drives you, and, you know, I call it spiritual awareness. People call it life purpose. Other people call it just spiritual energy. But it's the sort of your core that tells you why you're here. And sometimes
okay.
it's to be the best mom in the world or the best grandmother in the world. Sometimes it's to help people in small ways. But whatever it you feel drawn toward, take a look at it, because it's probably telling you something about your spiritual awareness.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So go ahead. I didn't want to interrupt
no, that's
you,
okay.
But that's really powerful.
It is. It's the core. It really is the core. And we can argue with ourselves. We can try to talk ourselves out of it. We can take bad advice, but nothing is going to take away that small voice that's within pushing you to do what you're here to be doing. And learned optimism is actually more cognitive. It's more of an intellectual process. Learned optimism has really, you can have a strong spiritual awareness but not be an optimist that you're going to be able to manifest it. So you need both. You need the learned optimism to say, okay, this is what I'm here that I'm meant to do, and I'm going to have a great attitude that I can make it happen. So the optimism is something that happens. You can teach yourself, and it's best to learn early. So if anybody's a parent, best to teach your children early to be optimistic and to choose to look at the glass half full. And it's a continual moment-to-moment exercise.
Okay. I'm just thinking that in many cases people will say, well, I don't have a choice in this matter. You know, if this happened to you, how would you be feeling? But, you know, I think that a lot of us can come up with examples, and I know that you have so many that you've written about, but, you know, the same thing can happen to 10 different people, and there's going to be 10 different responses. So, you know, it's not necessarily the constant being the event. It's the people that are experiencing it that are making those choices, as you say, through these four steps. It's cause from within, it's a decision, it's learned optimism, and it's our spiritual awareness. And those things we do have choices about.
Yes, Deb, and you know, this is where learned optimism and spiritual awareness bridge, because when you are aware of what you're supposed to be doing with your life and you feed really positive thoughts toward it, it just enhances it. These two things really do start to work together. And in my practice, I do a technique called the neuroemotional technique, and what it does is it helps people to pull out blocks, just bricks in their bucket. I call them bricks in their bucket that are keeping them from having this learned optimism. So if you have trouble, you know, find somebody in your area to help you, because what happens is we start thinking positively, and it's like taking a bucket of dirty water and putting it under a faucet and running clean water into it. And hopefully, if you keep running these positive thoughts into the bucket, it will displace all of the muddy water. But what if it doesn't? Two things to be aware of. One is that optimism isn't something you accomplish like baking a cake. It's a moment-to-moment process, and it's a continual choice. But the other thing to be aware of is that you might have what we call a brick in the bucket, okay? And a brick in the bucket doesn't go away because you run clean water into it. And sometimes you just need somebody, a good therapist, to facilitate and get that brick out of the bucket so that you can really choose optimism.
Yeah, that's a pretty powerful visual, the brick in the bucket. All right. Yeah, that will not go away on its own. That actually takes some manual removal through what you just described in that equation. All right, well, where does gratitude fit into getting the brick out of the bucket and getting the happiness equation to be a winning one for us?
Okay. Gratitude has to do with a couple of things. First of all, no matter what kind of a day you have had, there are things about this day that you can be grateful for. One is just that you arrived home safely. Okay. Another is that you had enough to eat. There are simple things in every day. They're not the same. They're different every day that you can be thankful for. And whenever you turn your attention to gratitude, you create a visualization of what you want more of. Now, that's important because when you complain and you say, oh, I don't feel well and I have a headache, you're creating more of that by using the spoken word to focus on what you don't want. You're creating more of it because you're driving your brain in that direction, and that's what you're going to create. It's almost like driving on the road. If you look at something on the side of the road, you start driving toward it. It pulls your focus off. So,
oh, I like that analogy. That's a real, that's good.
Thank you. And so what you focus your attention on is what you move toward. So if you're grateful every day and you give gratitude for things that occurred that were specific to that day, someone called or someone said something, or you simply saw something beautiful outside today, and give gratitude toward it, you begin to send positive energy toward the things you want to create, making the glass half full every day.
All right, now let me ask you this. Can you or do you recommend, you know, because when we're in a negative spot, I know for me, if something happens and that emotional trigger sends the cascade of those negative chemicals into my body, I almost have to have a preemptive strike ready for the war, you know. I want to almost, you know, in advance have something written down that says I need to, you know, focus on this to be grateful or that. I mean, do you recommend that people, you know, have this in advance? Because when the time to perform has arrived, the time to prepare has passed. So is that something that you would recommend in the happiness equation?
Well, I think it's critical because failure to think about what happens if you don't. You go on a downward spiral, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if something's not working well, it sort of causes that snowball to roll downhill and only makes things worse. And usually when things start rolling downhill and getting worse, people start doing things that are dysfunctional. Like having a drink to make it go away, or sleeping too much, or eating junk food. You know, if you don't redirect the brain, and the brain and the emotions are swirling around in negativity, you're likely to do something that's what we call a soft addiction. And definitely the idea of having in your bag of tricks a way to stop you from spiraling downward by using gratitude is powerful. It's so simple. It's free. There's no charge to doing this.
Love free. Love that price. That's a good deal.
Yeah. And so you almost really have to remember to have things around. Absolutely. Have an arsenal. Have, I know at the end of the day, I like to have a recording of some recorded old episode of Seinfeld. So that no matter what happened that day, I can laugh, and laughter, of course, you know, is a source of happiness.
Yeah, well, let's, you know, that's a good segue. So let's talk about that. And being a cancer survivor yourself, and realizing that you've used all of these things in this equation that you're sharing with us today, and there's more for people to visit drnancyonline.com. Please go there because we can't possibly cover everything that I really would love to cover because we're about halfway through the show, a little bit more than halfway through the show. But you'll certainly get enough that you'll feel, you know, grateful that you came. But let's talk about humor. And I love that you have, you know, you say you have the Seinfeld episodes ready, you know, you have mm-hmm. you have that right at your fingertips when necessary. Tell us about the chemistry and the science and all of the good things that humor does for us in making us predictable to be happy.
Well, I know that you said you're a scientist, so I'll start with a little bit of the science. Many years ago, a gentleman by the name of Norman Cousins was declared on his way out of life, and so he decided, well, I'm not going to take a whole lot of pills. I'm just going to watch a lot of funny movies and take a bunch of vitamin C, and he got better. So people started studying the effect of humor on the immune system. And it does cause an increase in T cells, which are fighter cells, which fight disease in the human body. And even the anticipation of something funny lowers blood pressure. So, and this is what happens when you've been watching a show for a long time, and it's funny, and you know the characters, and you just know what's coming. You know what's going to happen. You know it's going to be good. Before it even comes out of their mouth, that anticipation causes a decrease in blood pressure. So even anticipation of humor is powerful. And the idea that humor creates optimism, and it also creates aerobic activity. Laughing is aerobic. And there's even a science that you can practice on your own if you want to really use this tool in your life. It's called laughter yoga. And if you just Google laughter yoga, you'll pull it up. And it allows your body to start to go into a state where you're laughing. And if you continue laughing and you create this aerobic level, you actually do elevate your mood and you actually start laughing spontaneously. It's a powerful technique. And you can sort of almost push yourself into a happy state by using it. So humor has a very, very powerful effect, not only on health, but on every moment. You know, there are times where you just have to look at something and see what's funny about it. You know, Deb, haven't you had that experience?
Yeah, don't take your life too seriously. You'll never get out alive. That's the Everett Hubbard one that I always remember. I have that on my fridge. I'm like, you know, I mean, you gotta have a good sense of humor.
It's true.
You know, that sort of goes along with my life is none of my business. But really, laughter yoga, for people listening or on replay, check it out. And you know, any type of exercise. I know that, you know, one of your components in this is that oxygen changes the brain and creates chemicals that induce happiness, and that's why we need to actually exercise our body. But this is sort of an internal exercise that's really accomplishing a very powerful change in how we feel and the happiness that we can achieve. So laughter yoga, everybody. We got to go. We'll check it out, and we'll
and
have
you know
to...
If you want
we'll
more,
have, go
if
ahead.
You want
Share
more information,
experiences.
Email me. Go to my website and email me. And when you go to the website, Dr. Nancy is just drnancy, drnancy, online.com. No dot after the doctor or you're going to get somebody else.
We want you, the original. All right, so that's good for everybody. Make sure you write that down. With only... let's see, less than 20 minutes to go, I'm really interested in this this area of social contacts, because mm-hmm. I am a firm believer, and I have a whole chapter in my book, you know, we are who we associate with, and you cannot separate yourself from the fragrance of someone's personality and their attitude, and it's really important to make choices who we associate with and who we don't, because a negative person is just, you know, building an environment around you of negativity and vice versa. What are some of the key factors that we need to realize about people influencing our happiness and the personality types and so forth and so on?
All right. When we research happiness, we find that the number one source of happiness shows up as your social contacts.
Your social contacts, okay.
Social contacts, yes. That tends to be at the top of the list. But there are a lot of things that influence that. So let me make some clarifications. So when we have too many social contacts, it just becomes exhausting, okay? Although people with more social contacts report more levels of happiness. So everybody kind of has to find their happy level, you know, and that is going to be different depending on whether you're introvert or extrovert. An extrovert can have 25 people over to their house on a Friday night. An introvert wants one good friend. And so the number of social contacts that you have determines not only your happiness, but really is driven by your personality type. The kind of social contacts is also interesting, because you want to have friends, you want to have family, you want to have business contacts, and all of those contacts actually lend to your happiness. One thing, though, to keep in mind, and I've talked about introversion and extroversion, is that too much contact with people can cause stress. So that if you're a CEO of a company and you tried to deal with every single person in your company directly, you would burn out. That's why you have two top-level managers who deal with people and, you know, delegate underneath, because you can't do it all. You can't relate to too many people without actually having burnout. So social contacts are critical. They're important. But think about you and what's really right for you, because that's different for everyone.
Unbelievable. So really, you're really supporting that we must know ourselves. We have to know ourselves enough to know, are we introverted? Are we extroverted? What is our place? What's our job? And then putting all of those things together, or having the support of somebody like yourself, a therapist or a friend, to help us identify who we are so that we can know what the proper boundaries should be for, you know, the amount of people and so forth that we should have contacts with. Because the numbers you just shared, I mean, that's surprising data.
You know, it truly is. And when I work with people on the phone, when I do coaching on the phone, that's one of the first things I really find out about the person. You have to get to know who you're working with, because what works for somebody is going to drive somebody else, you know, totally crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. So personality type and knowing the social context is really going to have a major effect on whether you can be happy or not. How about creative flow? How about talking to that element, because that's got a few components to it that can really make a difference in people listening right now being happy or not.
And, you know, Deb, this is where people are going to really identify with happiness, because, and I'm going to throw a name out here that I don't expect anybody to remember, but his name is Mahai Csikszentmihalyi, okay?
And I will not be remembering that on the test at the end of this show, okay?
You won't. No, nobody will remember that, but I throw it out because he invented the concept of flow. And don't buy the book. It's about 2 inches thick in hardback. You don't need too much information. But I want to give him credit for inventing the concept of flow. And a lot of research has been done by him on the topic of flow, because when we do things that are creative and we lose track of time and we kind of get lost in them, that we create a state called a flow state. And it can come from work. It can come from doing really creative kinds of work, or it can be a hobby. It can be knitting. It can be writing a book. Whatever you do, it can be cooking. I get great flow from cooking. So whatever you do that puts you in the flow state where you just get so creative that you forget that you need to be somewhere, or you forget that you're cold, you know, you just lose track of everything. You're in that state of flow. And that state actually, and that creative opening actually opens up parts of the brain that are good for your health.
Wow. So we all need to do something that's so engaging that we are so passionate that we lose track of time.
We do, and I want to contrast. I'd like to contrast this with the idea that that we're being lazy, or that we shouldn't be doing that. We should be doing something constructive, because I think success and creative flow go hand in hand together. If you don't take those times to awaken your right brain, the right side of your brain, by using the creative flow, your ability to use the left side of the brain to do logical and practical things towards success is going to be impaired. You've got to get both sides of the brain working, because the truth about creative flow is it actually awakens a whole part of the brain that you need to be successful. So even if you feel like you're goofing off and you're wasting time, you aren't. You're actually feeding your success. And also assuring yourself that when you have that success, you're going to be able to enjoy it. Okay, because success, when we set a goal, typically we have a feeling of happiness. You know, I'm going to write this book. And then when you accomplish the goal, you feel really happy. But in between, you've got a lot of hard work to do. And when people are doing that hard work, they're not feeling the happiness. The happiness genes are not cranking. And so that's when you are in the middle of being successful, where you need to do something creative, feed your brain, get some of those happy chemicals moving, and then come back to your task. You're going to do it better, and you're going to have a little more happiness along the way, because the curve of happiness really drops when people are right in the middle of accomplishing a goal.
Isn't that interesting? So, you know, the beginning and the end, and then it's the middle. But that's the, it's the becoming part that's always the difficult, section. You know, and it's really almost counterintuitive, because you would think, well, I don't have time to stop and do something that would really be so engaging that I would lose track of time or fun or creative. But what you're saying is, no, that's the very time you need to do it, because it's the act of deliberately doing that and getting yourself creative that's going to help the momentum to propel you as a springboard towards the completion of the goal and feel happy. Am I correct?
That was a perfect summary.
Was that?
You are listening.
I am listening. And you know why I'm listening? Because I'm telling you, I love this. And I say it just almost every show. I hope that the listeners, I hope you all there in the chat room and on the phone line, you know, you're having a good time, because I know that I love my shows. I think they are awesome.
You're
I
in
love
flow.
Having
you, get,
you on
you get
as a
into
guest.
The flow.
I've met more fascinating people. I mean, this is just, this is phenomenal. I mean, how can you possibly be bored with all of this information? I mean, you have an IQ and a computer brain that really is giving us things that are going to be game-changing for our lives. I mean, this is, I mean, it doesn't get any better than this. This is unbelievable. How can I not be excited and be hanging on every word you're saying, Dr. Nancy?
Thank you. And you know, I think you hit on something else there. This is game-changing. This is life-changing, because everything we're talking about causes longevity and better health. And if you do get sick, you recover faster. So you have nothing to lose by choosing happiness. It's absolutely free. As you said, there is no charge. And it is life-changing, because it actually affects your health. It affects your longevity. It affects how quickly you recover and bounce back from illness. And it affects your whole perception of everything that happens around you.
Yeah. Well, you know, what's happening to me right now is, looking at 9 minutes left on the show, and if we don't cover proximity, we're going to have to. I wish I could have an applause in the chat room. Are we having Dr. Nancy back on or what? Yay! Yes. If you can fit us in, I know that you're doing so much. But proximity, can you tell us about proximity, and then make sure that you give us your new CD that just came out, your books, where you're going to be, how to contact you, because we need more of this. I mean, I know. I just eat this stuff up all day long. It's just overwhelming, the work that you bring to the world to make us better people. So tell us about proximity.
I would love to. I wouldn't want to leave without doing that. Proximity is a surprise, okay? If you have had trouble believing what I've been saying so far, this is really going to challenge you, but hold on, okay? Proximity has to do with the fact that, Deb, if you have 5 happy friends, you're going to be happier. Now, that kind of makes sense. If I'm around 5 happy people, it makes me happier. But if you're 5 happy, and that's true even if you don't see them or talk to them very often, okay?
Really? If you
yes.
don't see them or talk, so if I have some really awesome long-distance friends,
yes.
that still counts?
It still counts towards your proximity effect. Now, if each of your 5 friends has 5 happy friends that you don't know, have never met, know nothing about, those people, the happiness of those people makes you happier. And it goes out 3 levels. So if your 5 happy friends, 5 happy friends, have 5 happy friends each, the happiness of those people affects you and causes you to be happier. To me, this is the most stunning finding on happiness.
I've never heard of this. I'm ready to get a questionnaire for new friends. Okay, how many happy friends do you have?
No, it doesn't mean we desert our friends when they're not happy. But
oh
what
my gosh.
It means is that, you know, that we're experiencing what's called a vibrational effect. And this gets into quantum physics. Now, this is really powerful, because if somebody's happiness 3 levels out can affect me where I am, this has enormous implications. I mean, the implications here are just mind-boggling, and they would take a whole show to even talk about, though, is the power of vibration, how thoughts travel and feelings travel and affect other people. I mean, it's a whole topic on its own, and it's related more to my book on spiritual fitness. But the proximity effect really means that we affect people all the time. So if you just sit and give gratitude and choose to be happy, it's almost a responsibility that you have to make the other people in your life happy, is to focus on happiness, make your friends happier, and actually put this vibration or generate this happiness in your life almost as a generator to affect other people and pass the happiness on. In about a month from now, we're going to have a happiness book available. It is a great gift book because what more would you rather give someone than happiness and health? And they go hand in hand together. So that's how proximity works.
Wow, that is, you know, I just had a quick question to that. Would there be anything, is this proximity involved in that feeling that sometimes people talk about, you know, I just don't know, I just standing next to that person, I don't know why they creep me out, or I didn't like them, but mm-hmm. I just didn't feel comfortable around them, or somebody that you meet initially is really somebody that you think is dynamite and you just want to meet them again and listen to them or talk to them. Does this fit into proximity at all, that initial response to someone?
You know, it absolutely does. That's what happened between me and Debbie Mancini. I walked across the room and I said to her, I'm supposed to talk to you. That's how we met and connected. So, yes, it does. And, yeah, the same happens on the downside. You are around somebody and you just get this bad vibe and you know that there's some negative thinking or some neurosis or something going on there that you don't want to stand next to. It absolutely does happen. It does.
So you would really encourage anybody listening today to pay attention to intuition, because intuition really threads together and bridges this proximity, and the science that you just told us about that is really powerful.
It's very powerful, and the only sort of caution I'd suggest, yes, definitely listen to your intuition, but sometimes you don't click with a person because you have a different representational system, and I think that's a whole show.
Okay, well, we're going to have like a monthly show. We're going to have to, you know, you're going to have to start your own radio show. I'm telling you, that's the best thing that you can do, because people will be there, and I'll be one of your big fans. All right, so for everybody listening today, we've got 3 minutes, so we have to wrap it up, and we'll have to have Dr. Nancy on again. She's going to give us some websites and some products to continue giving us those mind vitamins to help us keep our happiness equation in balance for our success. But, you know, remember that these four tips, that it's caused from within, happiness is caused from within, it's a decision, learned optimism, and spiritual awareness is also key. The sense of purpose, success, eating well, exercise, gratitude, our social contacts, keeping good humor, creative flow, and proximity are all part of Dr. Nancy's research, 30 years of research. She's a professional psychotherapist. She knows what she's talking about. And each one of these components is part of your winning happiness equation, and so many other things, too, that she's going to now tell us about that are available. So give us your links and continued information to keep us growing and going towards happiness.
Okay, Deb. If you go to Dr. Nancy, online, O-N-L-I-N-E, drnancyonline.com. That is my website. It is slightly under construction, so I think all the links are still working. But on the homepage, you'll find a DVD called Hypnosis for Healing. And it is, I worked on it with a committee of doctors and nurses, and we put together, we had a grant from the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center, and we put together a DVD on hypnosis for healing that we just love, and it would be wonderful for you or anybody that you want to wish health for. You'll also find my award-winning book, Spiritual Fitness, and Spiritual Fitness tells you how to do a lot of these things, visualization and meditation and working with the breath in order to heal your body and heal your heart and your mind. And so that's there, as well as some relaxation and meditation training tapes, if that's something you want to start in your life. And there's also a teleseminar on breaking bad habits. So if that's something you want to do in the new year, have a look at that too. Everything designed to keep you healthy and happy.
Yeah, and make sure to sign up for that. That newsletter you have is great. I mean, you know, people have to sign up for that. I mean, that's really a gift that keeps on giving. So make sure you do that. Dr. Nancy, this has been an honor and a privilege, and I'm just thrilled. I hope everybody enjoyed the show as much as I did, and we'll share this with a friend. Be a friend. Share with a friend. It'll help you with your proximity to share this happiness. You can start right away with one of the components in Dr. Nancy's happiness equation. But this has just really been inspirational. I have loved it, and you are such a gift to the world, and sharing your shine and being a guest on the Best People We Know radio show is helping us be the best person we were created to be. So I hope you had fun. And I want to thank everybody for being in the chat room. Make sure that you contact Dr. Nancy, because she'd love to hear from you. And do check out my website too, which is greenskyandbluegrass.com. You find resources, my book, and all sorts of updates and things, Mind Vitamin newsletter. And that's a lot of fun. Next week, just so you know, I have Jack Zufelt on the 25th. He's the number one best-selling author of The DNA of Success, seems to be our theme for January. He'll be on at noon. And then James Rick, you've seen him on Oprah and Fox Business News. Mr. Full Potential, he's coming on Wednesday. And then Simran Singh, who's editor of 1111 Magazine, will be with us Thursday, the 27th. So we have another exciting week of guests for you next week, and I'll keep bringing you guests if you keep showing up and listening and bring a friend. So God bless you, everyone, and be your best and enjoy being you, because everybody else is already taken. Goodbye for now, and have a blessed day. Bye.
Bye.